In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a message I preached, and it's entitled Blockages to Pleasing God. But I want you to do this. I want you to listen to my opening comments that day, and then I want you to listen to what I prayed that day, and then take a look at today and make your own decision. Let's go to the message now, but understand what's going on in your nation, church. Understand, America, what's going on in your nation. Understand it. And give yourself to repentance and prayer. Here's the message, and may God bless you as you listen. As I was sitting before the Lord and just thinking about Scripture, thinking about the nation, thinking about the message I was going to preach, and I was just feeling around in my spirit and talking to the Lord, and I made mention to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is not the nation that I grew up in. And I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, nor is it the church that you grew up in. Meaning this, that the church has changed so much in my lifetime. Now, I'm not saying every church. I'm saying the church as a general rule. The church as a general rule has embraced so much that God does not approve of, has compromised her walk, has tried to appease and please every group and every movement in the nation today, and in so doing, lost much of her identity, lost much of her prayer power, lost much of her holiness, lost much of her faithfulness. And in this message, I'm just trying to help you, as our people here, understand more fully, more completely, what is theirs in Christ Jesus, the authority, the power that they have. So I'd like for you to follow along with us, if you would, in your Bible, Romans chapter 8. That's where we're going to begin in just a moment. But before we do, now I prayed as I started the message, but I'd like for you to join with me as I pray for the nation before we go to the midweek Bible study, shall we? Father God, I don't do this lightly. I don't do it trying to impress anybody. As you talked about, you and I talked this morning, Father, I said to you, my vision is to hear you and obey you. My goal in life is to hear you and obey you. And Father, if we're not careful, many times we feel like Elijah. We become discouraged and disappointed, and we fail to realize that you have your 7,000 plus who have not bowed their knee to the Baals of this world. But Father, I see my nation. We need spiritual renewal. We need revival. Father, we have those who are elected to office who have no convictions. They have no real value system. And they go with a whim of anything and everything that might gain them some advantage in one place or another. Father, I have asked you, and I'm asking you unapologetically, unashamedly, I am asking you to remove, take away the authority, the power, and the influence of those who are in positions of power, authority, and influence, who will not use their power, authority, and influence for the kingdom of God. Father, we need a change in this nation. We need the agents of Satan to be set aside. We need to see you raise up in this hour, in this day. And Father God, even your own son Jesus in the prayer of Gethsemane said, all things are possible with you. Jesus said that about you, Father, that all things are possible with you. Therefore, it is possible that you can reverse so much that is in vogue today. You can reverse so much that the church has embraced. Father, we need a stirring of your Holy Spirit in the church in the United States of America that will shake the church to its core. We need you to bring corrective action to this nation. And I wouldn't dare try to think about what that corrective action might be, what it might look like. But Father, the most horrible thing you could do for this nation is to do nothing. To do nothing. So, Father God, we have a duty as your people, as your believer priest, to come before your throne and petition your throne on behalf of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ in this nation and for this nation. So, Father, we come asking you for a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening that will shake this nation
and shake the church to the core and bring about a spiritual renewal, a revival that will absolutely stop the satanic agenda dead in its tracks. And I'm asking you for that. And Father, you have others who will ask you for that. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 9 through 14, hopefully, in this Bible study. And I realize going into this that much of this is repetitious. I realize that. I realize that much of it is repetitious, especially for you folks here at Challenge. You've heard most of this time after time after time. But, you know, if it were not so important, I would not be repeating it again. How many times have you heard me say that many times we are listening without hearing? If you want to see an example of that in Scripture, go to the book of Mark. Go to the end of the Gospels. And Jesus kept telling his disciples, I am going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be crucified. And I'm going to resurrect on the third day after my death. They were listening, but they were not hearing. I want to make sure that you understand this area of doctrine we're talking about in this Bible study. So let's pray. Let me ask the Holy Spirit to anoint me to teach this, and you and everyone else, whoever hears this, to better comprehend it and understand it. Father God, this morning, as I just sat before you talking to you, and I was concerning the vision that I have for life, my goal in life. As I said to you this morning, Father, my vision is to hear you and obey you day by day. The goal of my life is to hear you and to obey you day by day. I mentioned to you this morning, Father, that this is not the nation that I grew up in. And I felt as though you spoke to my spirit saying, neither is the church today the church as you knew it then. We've changed, Father. We have changed. The church, in too many instances, has become politically correct, afraid to offend, embracing anything and everything coming down the pipe. And, Father, because of this, we have so much moral decay in this nation. We need a spiritual renewal. We need a spiritual awakening. Father God, if you were to answer the prayers that we prayed this past Monday evening in our concert of prayer, this nation would be radically, radically, radically changed. And we're asking you to answer those prayers. And Father, because of my concern for the church and the nation and the church in the nation, I teach this. I believe this is what you want taught for this Bible study. I believe this is what you want for these people at this time. And I am simply asking you, Holy Spirit of God, to anoint me to develop this in such a way that the kingdom of God will be increased, the kingdom of darkness suffer loss, and that Christ Jesus and you, Father, will be glorified. Holy Spirit, if that's going to happen, I've got to have your anointing. And I'm asking for it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. Amen. And amen. Your position, on your position in Christ, is going to affect your faith walk as well as your prayer life. Did you hear what I said? Your position, on your position in Christ, is going to affect your faith walk as well as your prayer life. Therefore, it is extremely important that you know your position in Christ Jesus. I am convinced that one reason we're lacking prayer power, one reason that we're seeing a continuing deterioration of the moral values and standards of our nation, is because so many in the church do not understand their position in Jesus Christ. They do not understand a position as a believer priest. I told the Lord this morning, I want to be a warrior priest. I'm just not enough. It's not enough just to be a priest. Yes, I am a believer priest. Each and every one of us who have been born again are believer priests. But
But I want to be a warrior priest. I want to be one of those priests that yields the sword of the Lord in such a way that I effectively press the kingdom of God. I effectively war against the kingdom of darkness, and I want that for you. And that's one reason I'm going to cover some of these same scriptures again today that you have listened to before, but I don't know if you heard them. So I want you to listen carefully, because I want you to hear carefully. As we come firstly to Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now remember that chapter 8 of Romans follows, naturally, Romans chapter 7. And there's so many who do not understand Romans chapter 7. It's not Paul writing in some kind of split personality. It's not Paul writing in some kind of dual personality. No, it is a reflection, if you will, on his spiritual walk, his spiritual growth, as he came through stages of spiritual growth, which we all must go through. To get a better understanding of Romans 7, you've got to have a better understanding of Romans 6. Once you have a better understanding of Romans 6, and then you see the interlude of Romans 7, as it gives way to the truth in Romans 8, then you have a better composite picture of your position in Christ Jesus. Once again, in Romans 8, verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." In other words, those of the sin nature, that's what it means to be in the flesh. Those of the sin nature, those with the sin nature, cannot please God. Can't do it. You can jump through every religious group you can find, and you still cannot please God with a sin nature. You can get involved in this religious activity and that religious activity, but that will not eradicate the sin nature. Paul was having to fight this problem at the church of Galatia, and they had to understand that being circumcised does not eradicate the sin nature. Religious activity does not eradicate the sin nature. Belong to any church you choose, belong to any denomination you choose, that will not eradicate the sin nature. The sin nature can only be neutralized and then eradicated, can only be put to death in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are those who will tell you that it has been put to death, and then there are who will tell you, well, the sin nature hasn't really been put to death. It's been kind of neutralized. So I'm covering all of this in this one presentation right here. There are those who will teach you that the sin nature has been neutralized, but now wait a minute. What do you mean neutralized? Well, they'll say, well, you don't really have to obey the dictates of the sin nature. The sin nature is not eradicated. I remember Dr. John Burns in seminary, when he was covering this, he said, yes, when the old sin nature had to eliminate and leave the premises, which is my body, he says he scribbled his number on the wall, and you can call him up anytime you want to. Yes, you can call him up, but he doesn't live there anymore. You see, if you've been born again, now I've told you this, your body, according to the Word of God, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I've told you before, you are not a spiritual duplex with Satan living on one side and Jesus on the other. You're not some kind of spiritual townhouse with Jesus living upstairs and Satan living downstairs. No, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The sin nature, you see, you've been crucified. If you are born again, you have been crucified with Christ. You have been co-crucified with Christ. Now, whether your position on the sin nature, is it eradicated or just neutralized, is going to depend on what you believe about the Word of God. Taking line upon line, precept upon precept, there were so many areas of doctrine that I really did not positionalize on for a long, long, long time. It took me a long time to move beyond what I had been taught. Just like Paul, I've told you before that once Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, being a Pharisee, having been trained by the Pharisees, having been trained, if you will, he had to unlearn almost everything he had learned. He had to unlearn almost everything he'd been taught. Hence those 3 years alone with Christ out there somewhere in the desert, unlearning and being taught all over again. I had to come into the ministry with all of the teaching I'd heard in the past, and I had to compare that with what I was seeing now, that I was spending time in the Word, comparing the Word with the Word, looking at the doctrines of the Bible, and so I would just simply push one. If I didn't understand this doctrine now and I wasn't ready to positionalize on this doctrine, I would simply put it to one side of my plate. And I said, I'll get to that later. And that's where I went about studying doctrine. I did positionalize on this I'm teaching and this Bible study. It took years. It took years for me to get here. And with respect to the church, it took me years to understand that I did not really believe. I do not, I will not, I cannot believe in a pre-tribulational rapture theory. I cannot believe in a mid-tribulational rapture theory. I cannot believe in a post-tribulational rapture theory. I believe in a pre-wrath rapture. That just as the wrath of God is falling, the church goes up to meet Christ in the air. Why is the nation in the nation, and why are the nations of the nations in the corrupt situation of today? Because the church. Because the church has not fulfilled her role. She has not been the prayer warriors. She has been spiritually lethargic, apathetic, indifferent. And so therefore, Satan has gained ground, more ground and more ground, and abortion, as I've told you 1,000 times, abortion lays at the front door of the church, as does the homosexual lifestyle in this nation, as does transgenderism. All of that lays at the front door of the church. And it is not, you see, I can't borrow my doctrine from some denominational position. I've got to get my doctrine from the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, to take you further into this, I'm going to take you back. Here we go. We're getting repetitious. I'm telling you going into it. And I was talking to Brother Gene this morning. And I said, Brother Gene, at the sake of sounding extremely repetitious, I've got to cover these areas again. And we were talking about it. And I said, do you think it sounds terribly repetitious? He says, no. He says, it's something they need to understand. You see, until you understand the truth I'm teaching you in this Bible study, you're not going to have a very strong prayer walk. Until you understand these principles that I'm teaching in this doctrinal lesson, you are not going to have a lot of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're not going to develop that faith if you are a split personality. If you're thinking, well, yes, part of me is saved and part of me still needs to be saved and I'm in the process of being saved. No, salvation is an event. Being born again is an event. I've told you so many times. Sanctification is a process as you grow in the Lord. But while you're growing, you're still a child of God. Yes, you start out as a spiritual infant. You become a spiritual adolescent, and hopefully you grow into spiritual maturity. Now, we're going to come back to Romans chapter 6. I want to make sure that you are listening and hearing the Word of God in Romans 6. Remember now what I said about Romans 6, Romans 7, and Romans 8. So let's start with Romans 6 once again in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, that old sin nature, our old man, that old sin nature is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, before you're born again, you're serving Satan every day of your life. Before you're born again, you have a sin nature. Before you're born again, you are what you are, a sinner, a child of the devil. You were born with a sin nature. Nobody had to teach you to lie, cheat, steal. It just came very naturally to a sin nature. But the Word of God says, knowing this, that our old man, that old sin nature is crucified with Jesus. Crucified with him. Why? That their body of sin, those motions of the body that were involved in sin, those sinful practices, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. You see, once you're born again, I don't have a sin nature. I sin, yes, but it's not because I have a sin nature. I sin because I don't take every thought captive. I sin because sometimes I react or I respond before I allow the Holy Spirit to take control of what I'm about to say or do, act, whatever, even in a facial expression. I mean, I can be standing in the checkout line at a store, and I can be looking at some individual standing over there, and I can be saying to myself, pull up your britches, son, pull up your britches, tighten up. Well, that's judgmentalism, isn't it? Now, I sin, and if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, but I don't sin because I have a sin nature. No, I'm in the process of being sanctified. I'm in the process of learning how to take every thought captive to Jesus. Now, verse 7 of Romans chapter 6. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Once you die, you're never going to sin again. Once you die, you are never going to sin again. Whether you die as a sinner, or whether you die as a believer priest, a Christian, a child of God, you're never going to sin again. Once you die, you're never going to sin again. Now, the Romans 6, 7 is telling us, he that is dead, he that has been crucified with Christ is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed. In other words, sin is no longer in control. The sin nature is no longer the dictator to the flesh. The sin nature no longer can encompass and control you as a child of God. Unless you choose to let sin operate in your life, it cannot operate in your life. Verse 11. Likewise, the Word of God says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How can it be any clearer? Reckon, that means reckon yourself. Think of yourself, understand yourself as being dead to sin. Consider yourself being dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through some denomination, not through some religious practice, not through being christened or baptized, not through being circumcised or not circumcised, but in and through Jesus Christ. Now, the only people that can reckon themselves to be dead indeed unto sin are those who have been born again, but so many of you have been taught, just like the Pope a while back. Here was the Pope saying to homosexuals, it's okay to be a homosexual. God made you that way. No, that is a perversion of the gospel. That is a lie out of hell. I don't care if it was the Pope that said it. It's a lie out of hell. God will never, how many times have you heard me say this? God will not make you what he tells you not to be. God will not make you what he tells you not to be. Once again, in verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. You have a choice. You have a choice to make. It's volitional. It's volitional. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, child of God, let me give you some encouragement. You are sinning sins today that as you continue to grow in the Lord, you will no longer be doing. Did you hear me? You are sinning some sins today in your thought life, in your actions, in your attitudes, maybe some of your practices. You are committing sins today as you come through the process of sanctification. You are committing sins today that in the future you will no longer commit. Why? Because as you grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, as you grow from spiritual infancy into spiritual adolescence, into spiritual immaturity, we hope, as you grow in the Lord and you develop more and more of the character of Christ in your life, as you're increasingly more and more conformed to the image of Christ, these things that you're doing now, some of them are practices, some of them are habits, some of them may be addictions, but you will be freed of those as you grow in the Lord. You will change your thinking. You will change your attitudes. And then when you have that attitude or that thought, you will recognize it as being unchristlike, and you'll confess it as sin. And you'll start getting victory after victory after victory over all these things that heretofore in your life had been in your life, controlling you in your life, and you're going to get victory over them. Therefore, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, let not, volitional, up to you, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, verse 13 follows along right with that. Neither yield ye your members. Yield, volitional, it's your will. It's your will. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now let's slow down and look at that carefully. Neither yield ye your members, your eyes, your tongue, your hands, your feet, your sexual organs, the members of your body. Neither yield ye your members. Don't yield your members of your body to Satan. Don't yield them to demonic influence. Don't yield them to demonic control. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Every day of the world, get out of bed. In the name of Jesus, I choose to submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. I choose to serve you, Lord. I choose to obey you. I choose to please you. I choose to honor you. I choose to glorify you. In the name of Jesus, I take my position of death in Christ Jesus, co-crucified with Christ, dead to sin, dead to sin, dead to the influence of Satan, dead to demonic influence, dead to having my mind seated with the demonic seed of Satan. I take my position of authority in Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. And when that ungodly thought comes along in the name of Jesus, I renounce the thought and the spirit behind the thought. I do not embrace the thought. I do not allow the thought to take root in my thinking. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The first look is on Satan. The second look is on me. I've got to take control of the members of my body. The Word of God says, now if he's telling you to do this, that means if you're willing to do this, he will empower you to do this. Did you hear me? You see, he's telling you here, neither yield ye your members, your tongue, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your sexual organs, whatever it may be, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You're a purchased possession. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador for Christ. You've been purchased by the blood of Christ. So he says, yield yourselves unto God. If you're willing to yield yourself to God, if you're willing to submit and surrender yourself, he will enable you and empower you to do that. Are you willing every day of the world to yield yourself unto God, receiving his enablement, the empowerment of his Holy Spirit? Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, I'm to yield every part of my being, every part of my body, my thought life, my eyes, my every instrument of my body, every member of my body is to be yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 14 of Romans 6. Watch this carefully. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's the Word of God. I didn't write that. Now listen to me carefully. I have no books to sell. I have no CDs to sell. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm a biblicist. I just take God at his word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And sometimes it takes understanding. It takes a time of study, preparation, and prayer to come to a better, clearer understanding of his word. I'm not concerned about whether or not my theology agrees with his theology. I'm concerned about, does my theology agree with the Word of God? That is the test. Does what I teach and preach line up with the Word of God? I've never charged for a funeral. I've never charged for a wedding. I've never charged for anything. We have always, as a ministry, we've always given away everything we had. We're not in this thing to merchandise people, manipulate people. We're not in this thing to see what we can get out of it. We're in this to try to help people become as strong in the Lord and the power of His might as they can possibly become. And you can't do that as long as you think that you're a split spiritual personality. You will never come to grips with the victory and the power and the peace and the joy and the love and the prayer power and the faith that is yours. You will never get there until you understand your position in Christ Jesus. Until you embrace what God says about you, not what they say about you, not what some denomination says about you, but what God says about you. Look at verse 14 again. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You have to keep that in mind when you're reading Romans chapter 7. The same man under the Holy Spirit, the same individual under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God wrote Romans 6, who also wrote Romans 7, who also wrote Romans 8. And you've got to keep 6 and 8 in mind as you are reading Romans 7. Once again in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled the law completely, totally, thoroughly. Now we get down to 16, verse 16 of Romans chapter 6, and it bears watching, folks. It bears watching. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. You see, you have a choice to make. Am I going to obey God or Satan? Am I going to obey God or Satan? Am I going to believe the Word of God? And I'm going to embrace the Word of God. When the Word of God says, be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy, am I going to present myself to Him daily, choosing to live a holy, godly, separated life? When he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and sometimes that unfruitful works of darkness that you are involved in is on the TV set. It's in that movie you go to. Many times it's what you read. Yes, I've dealt with Christians who were eat up with pornography, and they hid their pornographic material from their wife or their kids, but every chance they had, they were out in it. Notice again, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves. Now, you're either going to yield yourself moment by moment, you're either yielding yourselves to God, to the Holy Spirit. Are you getting up every day of the world and telling the Holy Spirit of God, I need you today. I need your quickening. I need your illumination. I need your conviction. I need your enablement, your empowerment. And Holy Spirit of God, I don't want to quench you. And Holy Spirit of God, I don't want to grieve you. I want to yield to you, Holy Spirit, because I want you, Holy Spirit, to enable me and empower me to die to self so that the life of Jesus Christ can be manifested in me and through me. Are you doing that? Are you willing to do that? Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are. You see, if you're a child of Satan, you're going to obey Satan. If you're a child of God, there's going to be times you're going to sin, but the moment you sin, you're going to be grieved. You're going to be grieved. It's going to grieve you that you sinned. That's the convicting, illumining power of the Holy Spirit of God, which is proof that you do not have a sin nature. If you had a sin nature, you would embrace sin, love sin, and you would sin all you could. And it would not bother you when you sin. Would not bother you in the least when you sin. Why? Because that's your nature. But when you're born again, and you're indwelled by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, now you hate sin. And when you do sin, and yes, you're going to sin, as long as you're in this human body, left in your humanness and your humanity, yes, you are going to sin from time to time. but it will not become an ongoing, everyday practice of your life. It will not be your lifestyle. You will sin. You'll sin here or there, but you're going to hate it when you do. And then you're going to confess it as sin and ask for forgiveness. Now we come down to verse 18 of Romans chapter 6. Listen carefully. Being then made free from sin. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Being then made free from sin. You cannot be made free from sin as long as you have a sin nature. Because if you have a sin nature, it is your nature to sin. And the Word of God says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You became a servant of God. As you are enabled and empowered. And I realize some of you are saying, this is kind of tough. No, it's not tough. It's the Word of God. Take God at His Word. Word of God says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, your position on this doctrine is going to affect your faith level and your prayer life. This morning, talking to the Lord, I said, Father, remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying? He gave testimonies to your power. He said, with you, all things are possible. Jesus, the Son, said that to God, the Father, with you, all things are possible. Bob, are you saying to me that abortion on demand can be reversed? Bob, are you saying to me that the transgender movement can be, that those laws and rules and regulations and all that stuff that's been passed supporting the homosexual lifestyle and the transgender lifestyle, are you saying that that can be reversed? Yes. If God's people will give themselves to prayer, we're not to hate those involved in that lifestyle, we're to love them. Christ went to the cross for them. Jesus Christ went to the cross. They've been deceived. They're living in deception, as is the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar, the alcoholic, the drug addict, as are all of those who are bound, deceived, and bound into a life of sin. They've been deceived. But your position on this doctrine, Word of God says, again, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What you believe about yourself in Christ Jesus is going to affect your faith level. What you believe about yourself, well, you know, my mama was that way. My daddy was that way. It was in our bloodline. Well, then draw a line in the sand. Pray a prayer of renunciation and affirmation and stand against that. Yes, as a Southern Baptist, I laughed at that. When I was first introduced to the prayer of renunciation and affirmation, I laughed at it. I read it. I balled it up in my fist. I threw it in the trash can, and I said, that's nonsense. And that's when the Lord said, I think, in his own counsel, son, you don't know nearly as much as you think you do, but I'm fixed to teach you some things. And he did. And I had to come to grips with that reality. I had to come to grips with the reality of demonic entities, demonic activities, and in the bloodline that could affect me in my hour and my day. And so many of God's people, they are suffering because they don't understand this doctrine. They don't understand their position of power. They don't understand their position of authority. They don't understand that they can put on the whole armor of God, that they can acknowledge what's going on in their life, and they can acknowledge what was in their bloodline, and they can pray that prayer of renunciation and affirmation. They can draw a line in the sand and defeat everything out of hell. Everything out of hell. You see, your position on this doctrine is going to affect your faith level and your prayer life. Satan cannot, listen to me carefully now. You've heard this and heard this and heard this. No, you've listened to this. You have listened and listened and listened. I want you to hear it now. Satan cannot make you sin one sin that you do not want to sin if you have time to think about it before you do it. If it's just a very quick emotional response, a very quick emotional reaction, a very quick emotional action, yes, you may sin. Voluntarily, you will do that. But Satan cannot make you sin one single solitary sin that you do not want to sin if you have time to think about it before you do it. Now, sometimes we get blindsided. Sometimes we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we get blindsided. You see, oftentimes, it is the thought itself that is the sin. But how many of our people take the time to evaluate their thought life? How many of our people take the time to evaluate their thought life? As I said a moment ago, I have to be careful. I can be standing in the store making a purchase and see somebody standing with his breeches half pulled off his body. And then to myself, I can say, tighten up, son. Pull up your breeches. And then if I'm not careful, I will adjudicate a decision against that individual and now become critical. I become judgmental. All of that's involved in it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Now we pick up with Romans 8 again, okay? Romans 8, 9. Well, let's go back to Romans 8, 8 so you can pick up with 8, 9. In Romans 8, 8, the Word of God says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those with a sin nature cannot please God. Now verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh. You do not have that sin nature, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, if you are born again, you are not in the flesh. You're not in that sin nature situation, but you're in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the only way the Spirit of God dwells in you is if you've been born again. Now, the Word of God says, watch this carefully. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The one born again is no longer under the control of the flesh. The one born again is no longer under the control of the sin nature. Look at it again. Being then made free from sin. Being then made free from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Neither yield your members. Go back to Romans 6 and look at it line upon line, precept upon precept, verse after verse after verse. Paul is saying to you, you have authority. You have power. Now that you're born again and dwelt by the Spirit of God, those who have been born again are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Those who are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, not born again. I don't care how often you're in church. I don't care how often you go to Mass. I don't care how often you pray. I don't care how long you go to your prayer closet. How many times you pray the rosary. I don't care. The Word of God says those who are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God are not born again. So either you do have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, or you do not. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, then that means that he will enable you and empower you to do exactly what he's telling you to do and refrain from those things he's telling you not to do. What's your position? Do you believe God in this matter? Verse 10 of Romans 8, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, that old sinful body, the actions of the body, the members of the flesh. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. In other words, that part of you that was always involved in ungodly speech and conversations and activities and actions and all of that stuff. If Christ be in you, you see, the body is not to control you. You're to control the body. The instruments of your body and the members of your body are not to control you. You are to control the instruments and the members of your body, which is why the Word of God tells us in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, The Word of God tells us, the one who's born again is no longer under the control of the flesh. The one who is born again is no longer under the control of the sin nature. The Word of God tells us that those who have been born again are now indwelt by the same power that created the universe, indwelt by the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the tomb, the creative resurrection power of Jesus Christ now indwells each and every individual who has been born again. But so many of the people of God are compromising their walk, neutralizing their walk, because they've never positionalized on who they are in Jesus Christ. They have yet to embrace what the Word of God says about them. They have yet to believe the Word of God. You see, those who have been born again and who are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, then you have those who are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and they're not born again. You say, Bob, you don't understand. I've been in church since I was a kid. I was christened as an infant. Did that mean I was born again? No, that's a lie of the Catholic Church. See, the Catholic Church will tell you that when you were christened, baptized, if you will, you were born again. When you were christened, all of that, when you were presented, no, that's wrong. And so many in the Protestant church don't understand what the cross. They don't understand the position in Jesus Christ. And that's why they're so powerless. That's why they're not seeing prayers answered. That's why they're not walking in power. That's why they're not walking in victory. That's why demons don't back up from them. Did you hear me? That's why demons, some of you involved in this Bible study, you know and you understand that there are those in your own family who themselves are not born again, who themselves are demonized, and you have the power and the authority to intercede for them before the throne of God. You have the power and authority to take the Supreme Court of the United States before the throne of God. You have the power and the authority to take the abortion issue, the transgender issue, the homosexual issue. You have the power and the authority to take that before the throne of God, because as one who has been delivered from Satan, no longer a child of Satan, indwelt by the Spirit of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, made a believer priest, adopted into the family of God, you have all the creative resurrection power of the universe of God Almighty at your disposal if you're prepared to accept who you are in Christ. And submit and surrender to who you are in Christ. And take God at His word. Verse 11 of Romans 8. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Don't let that escape you, folks. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's what I just got through saying to you. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that resurrection power, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. In other words, He, the resurrection power of this universe, gives life to you, empowers you, enables you, and will make you, if you will, that which God wants you to be, if you will submit and surrender. The Word of God tells us, let's go back to it again now, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What do we mean? Our bodies are under a sentence of death. Our bodies are under a sentence of death. It's appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, but I don't have to die twice. Why? Because I've been born again. As one who's been born again, I don't have to die twice. Yes, I'll die once. I'll die a physical death, but I'll wake up in glory. And you see, even though our bodies are under a sentence of death, our resurrection to life eternal in Christ Jesus is assured. One split second after you slip into eternity, you will awaken in the presence of the Lord God Almighty in Christ Jesus. Verse 12.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're debtors not to the flesh. Then who are we indebted to? We're debtors to Christ Jesus. We're debtors to Christ Jesus for our salvation. Let me tell you something, child of God. You owe Satan nothing. You owe your old sin nature nothing. You owe nothing to Satan or your old sin nature. We're in debtors to Christ. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, not to the sin nature, to live after the flesh, but we're debtors, if you will, to Christ Jesus for salvation. And we should daily express our gratitude to Christ Jesus for saving us. Daily we should be thanking him for saving our souls. Verse 13 of Romans 8, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, put them to death, you shall live. Look at that again now. Watch it carefully. Romans 8, 13. If you live after the flesh, under the dictates of the old sin nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, as you're enabled and empowered by the Spirit, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You don't have to do one thing Satan is prompting you to do unless you choose to do it. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. If you live your life under the control of the old sin nature, you're going to die, not only physically, but spiritually. Listen to me, those of you who are putting all of your faith and hope and trust in works, denominations, some religious organization. If you live your life in accordance with and under the control of that old sin nature, you are not only going to die physically, but friend, you are going to die spiritually, and that without remedy for all eternity. There is no purgatory. The Catholic Church has lied. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. You cannot find it anywhere in the Word of God. I challenge you. Not in an authorized version of the Bible, you won't find it. All right, we come to our last verse. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Did you get that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and you can't be led by the Spirit of God until you're born again. You cannot be indwelt, enabled, empowered, or led by the Spirit of God until you are born again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, adopted into the family of God. And as his children, we have access to his throne. As his children, we have access to every promise he has ever made. As his children, we have access to every blessing he has ever promised. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. And we should show our gratitude in submission to his will day by day by day. I hope that as you have listened, that you've heard. And I hope that you're willing to receive what Christ purchased for you on the cross. Receive it, embrace it, and be all that Christ died to make you. Be all for God. Be all for Christ, that he died to make you. You've been born again. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the creative resurrection power of the universe. Now go out and live a life of victory and power and help others live that same life. Father, I thank you for the privilege of teaching this. I ask you to make it real to each and every soul who hears it, who listens to it here, and who listens to it out there. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, once again, I thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And why don't we take the closing moments together on this broadcast and go before the throne of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm watching my nation in something of a meltdown. But then we've been in a meltdown for some time spiritually, haven't we? Father, we have sinned against you. We owe you an apology. Father, our nation has embraced so much that is so ungodly and so unholy. We have sown to the wind, and we're reaping the whirlwind. And, Father, the church itself, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ on earth today, has in many respects embraced so much that it should never have embraced. And, Father, as we watch what is occurring in our nation this hour, in this day, we continue to ask you in the holy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, raise up in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation, those that you can use to expose and frustrate the satanic strategy operating in our nation today. And likewise, Father, we ask you to raise up in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation, those that you can use to equip and to encourage the people of God to faithfulness in these days. And all this we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Until we have a chance to meet again, dear hearts, pray, and may God bless you real good.